Radio Show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV Radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision Radio Show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear.
Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Vision radio show. Thank you for joining us today. It is September 11th, 2017. It's 8 o'clock in the morning. And I guess this is an infamous day in America, the day when we got attacked by our own government. I wouldn't say our government. I would say traitors that are working inside of our, that have usurped our government. Let's put it to you that way. I don't have a guest on with me today, so I'm going to go through some news stories with you as I do when I don't have a guest on. If anybody wants to give me a call to react or respond to any of the interviews I had last week or talk about the implications of what 9/11 means and all that stuff, the phone number is 718-717-8106, and you can give me a call and I'd love to chat with you. And I'm pulling this up. My internet's going a little skiky right now. Hold on. There it is. I thought I'd start with the nuclear alerts for September 11th because they were pretty grave. This is the nuclear alerts from the NRC this morning that popped up. My eyes went boing. This is actually, I think, one of the things that I'm going to do with my radio show is I think I'm going to actually give myself more room to vent and talk and open the airs to my listeners so you can call in and have a discussion with me. Because there's a lot going on, and I find myself, especially in interviews, like we only have an hour in the interviews, so I tend to want to just go off track. I know I go off track quite a bit with them, but we're in the midst of this massive upheaval. I mean, environmentally, politically, socially, spiritually, things are just in a massive upheaval of times right now. They did the fear-mongering over Irma for the last 5 days. I don't know. I personally am one of those that don't know if this was a natural storm or if this was a geoengineered storm or if all of those storms are geoengineered. I mean, this is the point where we've gotten in our culture these days. We don't even know what's real, like what's for real nature and what's not real nature anymore. And that is strictly because we live in a time of pure corruption and deception. It's not like it's far away. It's on everybody's doorstep, thanks to the internets, I think. Nuclear alert, the notification, current event notification for 2011. NIST, N-I-S-T, in Gaithersburg, Maryland. They had an unplanned contamination. Unplanned contamination. How do you like that? And that sort of reminds you that they do plan contaminations. They have planned contaminations, folks. If you live near a nuclear power facility, They have planned contamination dates near you. So if you live anywhere near a nuclear facility, you need to call them up and find out when their annual cleaning is. Because when they do their annual cleaning, that's when they open up the vents and the pipe and they release, frankly, they release most of the year's contamination. In the United States, they aggregate it, meaning they will contaminate it for a two-week period, and then they average it throughout the whole year and tell you that you have 0.00010% chance of being contaminated, because if you aggregate it for the whole year, yeah. But for that two-week period of time, you are getting blasted. So protect yourself, folks. If you live near a nuclear facility, if you're anywhere east of the Mississippi, you probably do live near a nuclear facility. And I mean like within 50 miles, you need to call up and say, hey, what's your annual cleaning schedule? And then you'll know and you can protect yourself. Because, you know, we're on a need-to-know basis, right? I guess we don't need to know. When the agenda's like, what do they call that now? They pushed it back to 2030, right? Agenda 21. And now it's pushed back to 2030. I don't know. Crazy making world, man. That's why I don't like that word, because they want to make us crazy and use that word. Wow, that's crazy. No, it's not crazy. Murderous, not crazy. NIST, unplanned contamination. The purpose of this communication is to provide additional details surrounding the circumstances that led to the identification of unplanned contamination in one of the laboratories designed as a restricted area at the U.S. NRC license NSM 362. As indicated verbally during the initial report at 1207 EDT and required by 10 CFR 30.50B1, this event is described as having a broken flame seal glass ampoule that resulted in the contamination of the lead shielding storage area on top of the countertop and other surfaces within room C11 in building 245 of the NIST Gaithersburg, Maryland campus. This was discovered at approximately 1400 EDT on 818. 818. Huh. Okay. So this must be one that we had not read. Update on 9-6. We'll skip the second update where they tell us what they received them. The licensee received 3 bioassay results from personnel exposure to the contaminant. 2 of the bioassays were negative. The 3rd bioassay indicated the exposed individual received 9.1 rem, whole body of 87 rem, to the bone surface of the targeted organ. Additional bioassays are being performed. The update on 9-8. The purpose of this communication is to provide additional details regarding event number 52916 as results of radiological surveys, interviews, and bioassays are obtained. As indicated verbally to the NRC's Ops Center phone update today at 1838 EDT, new survey and interview information has led us to believe the ingestion was a possible pathway for the individual that had a positive bioassay. Given the difference in the intake retention fraction, IRF, for ingestion versus inhalation pathway, we have performed additional calculations of the previous bioassays. These calculations have identified the potential for a total effective dose equivalent of 25 rem or more. Wow. Bye-bye, guy. I hope that they won't. I wonder how NIST will handle this man's illness. Given the potential for a dose of 25 rem or more, consultation was done with the REAC /TS team. Additional PIO essays and medical evaluations will be performed. Wow. Now that's like a death sentence. Wouldn't that be harsh? You're working in some nuclear lab and the worst of the thing that you've always prayed and hoped would not happen actually happens. That is a sad thing. Oh, so we have stolen tritium signs here. Where were the stolen tritium signs? In Michigan, from the Department of Michigan Corrections, from the prison, folks. Michigan Department of Corrections, they got their stop signs taken down. I wonder if that means there's going to be a heist or a bust, I guess. I don't know. The phone number here is 718-717-8106. In case you want to give us a call, we'd love to hear from you. Maybe I should do like a little Instagram post right now. Hi, y'all. It's Lonnie Clark on the Age of Vision. Call my show. Okay, so back to this report to the NRC. This is very interesting. Damaged moisture density gauge again at the California Department of Health in Temecula, California. I'll spare you the details on the gauge. We know those things break all the time. Oh, we have a stolen gauge now from Varian Medical Systems in Glen Falls, New York. Stolen. So did they update it? It was located by the common carrier. The package was delivered. Okay, good. That was lost. Lost or stolen. So I guess they lost it. 3.729 curies of iridium 199 source was removed from a Varian high dose rate afterloader and prepared for shipment by a common carrier. So the common carrier lost it. And now they found it. It was delivered to the recipient on 8/29. So how long did that take them to do that? 8/22 is when it shipped out. Not too bad. Here we go. Our favorite place, Turkey Point, Florida, which they said, don't worry about it. It can handle Irma. Notification of an unusual event, the hurricane warning. This is their thing. This is what they're saying. Offsite notification, emergency declared, 9/8, finally. At 2300 today, the National Weather Service issued hurricane warning for the area, including Turkey Point nuclear units 3 and 4. On that basis, a notice of unusual event was declared at 2314. In anticipation of severe weather, the site was completed. The site has completed proceduralized high wind preparations. Our plants have been specifically built to withstand natural disasters such as hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes, flooding, and tidal surges. This approach will ensure the safety of operations and our employees and the communities surrounding our plants. Both units are currently stable at 100% power level. So they're sticking with that they're safe. We'll see. You do realize if Fukushima hadn't blown up, they would have told us everything was fine. Oh my gosh, here's this. Fitness for duty at Oyster Creek, New Jersey. Confirmed positive FFV. A non-licensed employee supervisor has been confirmed positive for a prohibited substance during a random fitness for duty test. The individual's unescorted access to the plant has been removed. So there. Quad Cities, Illinois. Accident mitigation. We just barely lost it. Accident mitigation. What did they do here? HBCI system inoperable. On September 8, 2017, at 11:30 hours CDT, Unit 2 high-pressure coolant injection, that was the HBCI, minimum flow valve, MO2-2301-14, flow indicating switch, failed to meet the technical specification allowable valve during calibration testing. This event is being reported as a condition that could have prevented a fulfillment of safety function in accordance with 10 CFR 50.72B3VD. Okay. The HPCI system is a single train system, and the loss of HPCI could impact the plant's ability to mitigate the consequences of an accident. The reactor core isolation cooling system was confirmed operable. Thank goodness. Okay, so again, they're closing. There's an event at St. Lucie, Florida, probably much the same. They're telling us Unit 1 or 2 are at 100% operation unit. They're operable right now. Notification of unusual event, hurricane warning. In anticipation of severe weather, the site has completed proceduralized high wind preparations. Both units are currently stable at 100% power. Updated 9/7/17 from Dale Thomas to S. Sandin. In anticipation of severe weather, the site previously completed high wind preparations. Our plants have been specifically built to withstand natural disasters such as hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes, flooding, and tidal surges. This approach will ensure the safety of operations and our employees and communities surrounding our plants. Both units are currently stable at 100% power and will remain at that power since hurricane force winds are not currently projected to reach St. Lucie plant. Update. Let's see. At 1648 EDT today on 9/10, a 24-hour update was made to the state and local governments following the National Weather Service issuing Friday's hurricane weather warning in the area, including St. Lucie plant. On that basis, the notice of unusual event was declared yesterday. There are no changes in plant status for either unit. So they're good to go, folks. Crystal River, Florida. And this is a power reactor, and this is non-emergency, other unspecified requirement. This was on 9/9. Crystal River Unit 3 is currently undergoing decommissioning and is permanently shut down. The licensee entered their adverse weather procedure, EM220D, based on hurricane warning affecting the site within 36 hours. All applicable sections of EM220D are complete or in progress. No fuel movement activities are in progress. All equipment, including emergency diesel generators, are available to perform required spent fuel cooling. The licensee will inform the NRC office number 1. Fermi, Michigan. It's quite a bit of activity today, man. It's quite a bit. Fermi, Michigan, Unit 2, accident mitigation. Oh, we're so good they look after us. The Unit 2 is at 100% power. At 1000 EDT on September 9th, Division 2 mechanical draft cooling tower fans were declared inoperable due to failure of the overspeed fan brake inverter. The brakes prevent fan overspeed from a design basis tornado. MDCT fans are required to support operability of the ultimate heat sink. The ultimate heat sink is required to support operability of Division 2 emergency equipment cooling water system. The EECW system cools various safety-related components, including the high-pressure coolant injection HPCI system, room cooler. An unplanned HPCI inoperability occurred based on the loss of HPCI room cooler. Investigation into why the Division 2 MDCT Investigation into why the Division 2 MDCT time of discovery could have prevented the fulfillment of safety function needed to mitigate the consequences of an accident based on a single loss of a single train system. Oh, excuse me, I skipped a line. As you could tell, I kind of got lost. Investigation into why the Division 2 MDCT fan over speed brake inverter failed is in progress. That's an awkward phrase, fan over speed brake inverter. So they're looking into it, and we'll be told why that broke. The licensee has two spare inverters on site. After replacement and successful post-maintenance testing, the licensee expects to exit both AS before 72 hours. So they're fixing it, and they think it's going to be okay. Browns Ferry, Alabama. Potential unable to control safe SD. Potential RHR inoperable. Potential uncontrolled radiation release. Accident mitigation. These are all considered non-emergencies. Two controller bay chillers declared inoperable. I wonder what all of this means. Hold on. I had to get a sip of coffee. So if anybody wants to break into this gripping information from the NRC, I welcome it. So the phone number is 718-717-8106. You can give me a call on Skype. If you know me on Skype, it's Lonnie.Clark7. LONNIE.CLARK, number 7. Here we go. Back to this potential unable to safe shutdown. That's what SD means, safe shutdown. You kind of have to figure this out. At 11:51 CDT on September 10th, Browns Ferry Unit 1 and 2 declared B control bay chiller inoperable. A control bay chiller was previously declared inoperable. This resulted in operability of the equipment in the Unit 1 and Unit 2 4 kV shutdown boardrooms. The declaration of the equipment in the shutdown boardrooms was a loss of safety function for electrical components required for shutdown of units 1 and 2 reactors and maintaining them in a safe shutdown condition, as well as RHR capability and accident mitigation. Inoperability of these boards also requires declaring two trains of standby gas treatment inoperable, resulting in a loss of safety function for units 1, 2, and 3 for systems needed to control the release of radioactive material. This event requires an 8-hour report, IAW 50.72B3V. Wow. So let's hope nothing happens up there. Where is this? If you're living near Browns Ferry, Alabama, man, you need to really have a plan in place, and you need to follow this, because they didn't say they fixed this, and this could actually, if something goes wrong before they fix it, that could be serious. Okay. Moving on, this is a long day for the NRC's alert. This is our last one. They decided to put it in at the very last minute. Turkey Point, Florida, RPS actuation critical, valid specification system actuation. This happened on 9/10. Manual reactor trip on lowering steam generator water level. On 9/10 at 18:55 EDT, Turkey Point, Unit 4 reactor was manually tripped from 88% rate thermal power due to a failure of 4C steam generator main feed regulating valve cause lowering steam generator level. All other systems operated normally. Auxiliary feed water initiated as designed to provide SG water level controls. Emergency operating procedures have been exited and general operating procedures were entered. Unit 4 is stable in mode 3 at NOT/NOP. Oh, net operating temperature and net operating procedure. Well, we're glad to hear that. Turkey Point dodged another bullet, right, folks? Jeez Louise. It's unbelievable that this has to be part of our existence. We're talking about the difference between life. And at least with the NRC, we have someplace where we can actually go and look at this. I don't even think that they keep control of the chemicals I know for a fact, I used to sell water filters, as a matter of fact, so I know about water, and they still only regulate 60 chemicals that go into our water, and that doesn't include all of the way they interact with each other. So anybody drinking our tap water anywhere in the United States ought to not do that. Let's look at the news. We have news here. This is very interesting. The title of this says, "Why Nuclear Energy May Not Be Our Best Option to Fossil Fuel." I was dumbfounded that this was in Forbes. This blew me away. So it says the contributor was Quora. So that's kind of an odd thing. Quora, Q-U-O-R-A. That's the contributor. This is the beginning of the story. So it's kind of pieced together. So this is an odd thing. What's your response to Amy Harder's argument that environmentalists are missing opportunities to build consensus on climate change by opposing nuclear power and carbon sequestration projects? Originally appeared on Quora, quote, "the place to gain and share knowledge, empowering people to learn from others and better understand the world." So Quora is its own little deal. So I guess that's what that's about. What's the full bio on Quora? Doesn't give us one. Answers by Michael Barnard, low carbon innovation analyst on Quora. I have different answers to these points. In summary, carbon sequestration has proven itself to be incredibly expensive and hasn't scaled at all for 20 years. Nuclear is blocked mostly because it's too expensive, less than any concerns from environmentalists, and frankly doesn't have the flexibility modern grid management requires. You know what really blows me away about this low-carbon innovation analyst? There is never any discussion about the negative health costs that nuclear contamination is currently giving our planet. And it makes me just want to spit nails. I lose all respect for anything this, all I hear after this is wah, 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 wah. So let's get down to the subset, because this is a long article, and it says, is she right that a diminishing set of environmentalists are hyper-concerned about radiation and ignoring the low-carbon value of nuclear power? Yes, but environmentalists aren't nuclear power's problem. Its first problem is that it keeps getting more expensive while alternatives keep getting cheaper. Thank God. And the, you know what? But that was actually the same argument we had a long time ago. The only difference was is that people are determined to find a cheaper way to do it. And they thought, the people that pushed nuclear on us really believed in their heart of hearts. You should read this article. I actually read it on my YouTube channel by Dr. Weinberg. They really believed that they were going to have the solution. They really, in their heart of hearts, believed that, yes, while we're creating this nuclear pollution, ultimately we'll end up finding the solution, and we're going to have very inexpensive stuff, you know, electricity. This is called The Safety of Nuclear Power by Alvin M. Weinberg, public released in 10/25/2006. Now, why did they have to hold it? It was done on November 14, 1972. Why did the government withhold that? Because of the information in there is so incredibly shocking that people would have been shocked if it was released right away. That was in the days of when they were like in the streets gathering and demanding. That's when they thought they could still change the world. And they did, actually. Listen to what he says. Let's skirt down, blah, blah, blah. He's talking about he's sitting on his high throne. These aren't environmental problems. The hysteria over health is really hysteria, but is besides the point. This is hysteria over health. Tell that to the people with microencephaly babies. Tell that to the people who have cancer, who have diabetes. this is such a, I have no respect for people like this because they have not even looked into the real medical, real, nobody has really studied it except for John Goffman, Arthur Tamplin, and Dr. Linus Pauling. And shortly after that, they shut down almost all. Thank goodness in Russia after Chernobyl, there's some very definitive studies on the effects of nuclear. The Russians were at least honest about what this does. So I cannot read the rest of it, but you get my point here is they're moving on because it's financially cheaper. It's not because it has anything to do with health costs, and there's no regard for the nuclear waste that is just spewing everywhere. And a top low-carbon analyst, innovation analyst, is saying that our health concerns are just hysteria. That's what they are. The hysteria over health is really hysteria. But it is besides this point, so move on. We're just going to bat you away. Definitely, that makes me want to spit nails. Like, this is why people stop engaging. Because if this is the expert that we have, man, how are we going to make a change? If this is like the, quote, liberal talking to us about bringing the world into a safer place in the next 100 years, because right now our planet is definitely not safe. We do not live on a safe planet. The United States is the biggest warmongering machine we have ever seen in the history of the world. And it's unconscionable that our people are bloodthirsty in the way that they are. We have over 30,000 deaths in this country from gunshot wounds. We have battery of children and women, and men are being battered by their spouses. It's outrageous. You know, and yeah, I'm going to bring this up because battery matters. I mean, I get it. People go through phases in their life where you realize, holy crap, I can't keep doing this because you don't want to harm the people that you love. So you eventually get help if you stop. If you don't stop, you just move on to a new victim. I mean, if you don't get help, if you don't stop and get help, you'll just keep moving on or you exhaust yourself. I don't know. I think what happens with batterers, they don't physically batter, they emotionally batter, but it's still battery is battery. And this is these are the people that we're supposed to be listening to. He's telling us, oh, why they're going to move into it. It's because of the cost, because renewables are so much more better, which we've known for many years. This is like not news, you know. Here's an editorial on the LA Times I thought I'd read to you. I think I saw one in Miami Beach. People might have one. Miami Beach mayor calls Irma a nuclear hurricane. How do you like that? A nuclear hurricane. When was this written? September 10th. So this was yesterday. Irma has been blamed for at least 25 deaths as it's made its way. It's not a nuclear hurricane. It's in the lineup. It could be a nuclear hurricane. It's probably going to be, because this is the thing. We actually will not know if any of those nuclear power facilities are harmed or not. We're on a need-to-know basis. They wouldn't have told us about Fukushima if we hadn't seen it blow up with our own two eyes. Okay, so let's read this story from the LA Times. Editorial, there's no great answer for nuclear waste, but almost anything is better than perching it on the Pacific. You think? It has a picture of the nuclear power facility with all these fuel tanks sitting right next to the coast with a concrete fence around it. Like a 9-foot concrete fence around it. That's totally hilarious. They're talking about San Onofre, of course. September 11th, the Times editorial board. One of the greatest failures in U.S. energy policy was that we've never figured out what to do with the lethally radioactive waste produced by nuclear power plants. That's why the owners of the decommissioned San Onofre nuclear plant have had little choice but to keep their spent fuel rods on site, bundled up in concrete bunkers on the edge of the Pacific Ocean, dangerously close to an earthquake fault and millions of people, and hope for the best until the federal government finds a good place to put the deadly waste. The feds don't have one yet, but developments in court and in the marketplace could help move San Onofre's waste somewhere considerably less risky. As part of a legal settlement earlier this month, Southern California Edison, which is the majority owner of the shuttered nuclear power plant, promised to make a good faith effort to find a safer home for the 3.55 million pounds of nuclear waste at the plant. That's a welcome shift for the company, which has been focused on moving its spent fuel rods into safer containers on site. And unlike in the past, it may have several choices for where to send the waste. Although there are still no federally licensed nuclear waste dumps, despite the billions of dollars ratepayers have paid to fund them, as of this year, there are two proposals for temporary storage sites that could conceivably be ready for business by the early 2020s. So that means that we have to cross our fingers for the next 3 or 4 years and hope to God there is no earthquake along California's highly active radioactive fault zones. The most promising is an underground facility in the southeast corner of New Mexico, 35 miles from any significant population, operated by Holtec International, the nuclear storage company that makes the dry casks currently used by San Onofre. You know, the ones that are half an inch thick. If there are no hitches in licensing, it could be ready to store spent nuclear fuel in about 5 years. This would incidentally be good timing for California's last operating nuclear plant, Diablo Canyon, which is set to shut down its last reactor in 2025. Again, we're crossing our fingers. Another proposed short-term site is Andrews, Texas, operated by waste control specialists and currently storing low-level radioactive waste. But its prospects are less certain. Earlier this year, the company put on hold its application to expand high-level nuclear waste, citing financial reasons. Meanwhile, public opposition to the proposed expansion had been growing. A third option is the Palo Verde Nuclear Generating Station in Arizona Desert, about 50 miles from Phoenix. At the moment, Palo Verde holds a permit to store its own waste on site, but Edison is part owner of the plant and presumably could have some sway in the decision to seek an expanded waste storage permit. That there are real options at last for off-site storage is heartening. Although the nuclear waste at San Onofre is about as safe as it could be, the storage containers aren't designed for long-term storage. Yet, any longer-term option would require tremendous political will to achieve. Having Edison contributing to that effort certainly can't hurt. Hold on, I'm turning down my phone. I just realized I don't have the volume down. There you go. As for truly permanent storage, the U.S. Department of Energy's proposed Yucca Mountain site in Nevada still appears to be the safest place in the country for a permanent nuclear repository, though even if all the stars aligned, it would take decades to open. The federal government needs to renew its effort to bring the Yucca Mountain site into operation. Why does it make it the safest place in the country? That's an interesting statement, as if there's any safe place to store it. That's why it hasn't gone to Yucca Mountain, folks. Let's read on. Doing so, however, will be a political challenge. After the federal government sunk $11 billion with the B, folks, into the site's development, President Obama halted work in 2010 as a favor to then-Majority Leader Harry Reid. And though the GOP generally seems more open to the project, Nevada Republican Senator Dean Heller ferociously opposes it. Nevadans don't generally like the idea of having nuclear waste in their state, but even they would have to concede that the remote and dry location built deep into a mountain is a better spot for radioactive material than in the middle of a seismically active population center. I say these are things they should have thought about before they even built any of these plants, man. Granted, when it comes to waste that's going to remain radioactive for tens of thousands of years, hundreds of thousands of years, there are no great solutions. But there are certainly better ones than continuing to hold more than 70 tons of nuclear fuel at about 120 operating and decommissioned nuclear plants across the facility, never intended for long-term storage, then hoping for the best. Well, that's kind of what you're doing when you're moving it, too. That's the issue, isn't it? Like, you don't want it in your backyard, but then again, you guys should have thought about that before you ever allowed it to be, built, because you want to send your waste to the middle of another state and just let it be there. The whole nuclear thing is just so completely. So this is the second story I pulled up from The Independent. It's, as clean energy costs tumble, the government must reverse its nuclear course. And this is from James Moore, chief business commentator. And it really has the whole same thing down with the cost. It has nothing to do with it. This is the most inhumane part of it all, is that it is, absolutely, they considered the health cost to be hysteria. So don't worry about it, because of course you're not contaminated from nuclear. That has nothing to do with it. It has to do with the chemicals and the other pollution, the carbon. It's the carbon. Wow. So I pulled up a story from the Union of Concerned Scientists called Hurricane Irma, Catastrophic Intensity. Where did you go, bud? Hang on, pecan. Let's see, maybe I have to do something to get there because I had it open. It's Mr. Dave Lockbaum. Dave Lockbaum actually wrote this. Let's see. Let's see what that can say. Who is it? Oh, this is from Astrid Caldas, climate scientist, September 5th, 2017. And it says update. September 7th. I beg your pardon, you guys. In a world, somehow this changed. I had something completely open, different, and now it's not the same, but I'll read this because it's a quick little blurb. In a world that's increasingly defined by superlatives, let's start with this just released statement from the National Hurricane Center. Hurricane Irma is the strongest hurricane at the Atlantic Basin outside of the Caribbean Sea in the Gulf of Mexico for their records, and a potentially catastrophic, tied for second place to the strongest ever in the Atlantic. It's following in the footsteps of Hurricane Harvey, which gathered strength very fast and dumped records amount of rain on Texas and Louisiana. If that doesn't give you pause, I don't know what would. Harvey underwent a very rapid strengthening from a tropical storm to Category 4 hurricane in about 48 hours and gained strength as it approached wind landfall, as opposed to the usual weakening. It had so much rain associated with it that the National Weather Service had to create new colors for their precipitation maps in order to properly depict the amounts. The extreme rain events are becoming increasingly common with a number of 500-year rain events. Those are probabilities of 0.2% of occurring in any one year. That should be rarely happening. That should be rare happening all over the country in a matter of months. What is behind the intensity of these hurricanes and the increase in precipitation observed in the variety of weather events? Sea surface temperatures, the main hurricane fuel, have been on the rise. We know from studying hurricanes that many factors cause and drive them, but their main fuel is a warm ocean. Warm surfaces produce heat and water vapor. Hurricanes feed on and intensify from both, and the amount of rain they ultimately dump can be increased by both the higher availability of water vapor from the warm water and the fact that the warm atmosphere can hold more than the available moisture. Therefore, a trend of both increased intensity and rainfall associated with hurricanes can be expected, and in fact, recent studies are in agreement with that. The waters off the coast of Texas when Harvey intensified from a Category 2 to a Category 4 hurricane were 2.7 to 7.2 Fahrenheit above average. Wow. The sea surface temperature where Irma was located as of the morning of 9/5 appears to be at least 2.7 Fahrenheit degrees above average, what may have had a role in its turning into a Category 5. Should we expect hurricanes to be more intense? As a matter of fact, we probably should. I'm going to spare you. We have, they're talking about preparedness. But interestingly enough, again, there is no conversation, and I guess this is considered hysteria, talking about Fukushima dumping how many tons of radioactive contamination, 100,000 tons of hot radioactive waste into the ocean every day for 7 years. Does that mean nothing? Just the sheer volume of it. How much radioactive waste is released by Fukushima every day? Let's see what they're telling us now, just to see what they're saying, because I had it written down. In fact, I made a poster out of it. Now they're telling us 400 tons. It used to be 100,000 tons. Huh. I guess it just depends on which year you're going to be. It's leakage on a daily basis. That's kind of what it is. It's beyond comprehension that we actually have to live through this, folks. I mean, here we are in our lives. All of a sudden, we realize that our environment is collapsing. I mean, let's just take a look at the end time prophecies. Endtimesprophecy.org, animal deaths from 2017. It was last updated on September 5th. Mass die-off of livestock due to storm in Baja California. Thousands of ducks dead due to avian flu. Once again, that avian flu. Never a word about radioactive contamination. It's all avian flu. 3 tons on September 4th, 3 tons of dead fish wash up in the waters of Kaichike, Macau. Mass die-off on the river of Xiamen, China. Thousands of dead fish causing shock in Billabong near Darwin, Australia. Thousands of dead fish in a river in Coimbra, Portugal. Massive amounts of dead fish washed up in the Keelung River. Thousands of dead fish found in a natural reserve in Germany. Hundreds of thousands of dead fish washed up in a beach in Cornwall, England. Thousands of dead fish floating in Batang, Indonesia. Hundreds, maybe thousands of dead snow geese washed up in Cambridge Bay, Canada. 300 animals dead due to flooding in a national park in India. Hundreds of dead fish washed up in Guaymas, Mexico. 200,000 birds killed due to the avian flu in Pampanga, Philippines. 4,000 birds killed due to disease in Sweden. 2,474, you know that they really needed that cattle when they call them exactly how many they have died for unknown reasons in Chiquisqua, Bolivia. Dozens of dead dolphins and turtles wash up on the Gulf Coast in America. That was August 18th. So that was before the hurricane. Thousands of dead fish wash up along shore in Tampa Bay. August 15th, tens of tons of fish found dead in a fish farm in Kangur, Indonesia. August 13th, 2 million cattle due to devastating drought in Ethiopia. And August 10th, 90 tons of fish have died in fish farms in Vietnam. And I think that was the last one. I think I remember reading this. Hundreds of dead shearwater fish washed up in Long Island. So these people are saying that our concerns over nuclear contamination are hysterical. And yet there is really no real studies on how low-level contamination continued. Hundreds of thousands of low-level contamination is affecting our environment. I just am blown away by that. That there is absolutely no regard for this. Every animal species is, you know, these animals in the ocean. Imagine what's not washing up on shore if we're having those animals wash up on shore. It's just unbelievable. I just, what's stunning is that we're living through this. And the Union of Concerned Scientists, all these people, none of them are looking at nuclear contamination. When I had Dr. Busby on, he was kind of piqued. He couldn't believe that. I actually thought that maybe the radioactive contamination could be harming the microscopic life inside the ocean and messing up the biota inside the oceans. You know, Brian Porter really believes that part of what's really causing the oceans to die is the shipping industry, that it uses more fossil fuel and it dumps. It's actually really a huge polluter. So that is actually something that really is a big issue. Well, we have about 10 minutes left. I have this inclination to kind of sort of do a little bit of a rant here. I want to thank that our affiliates that are in KEPW for playing our show, a Nuclear Hot Show, here on KEPW.org. They have their own time frame when they put us in, so we want to thank them for airing our interviews and airing Nuclear Hot Seats interviews and the information and getting it out to people in whatever venue that we can, because we certainly need it. I guess this is going on the belief that if people have the information, they'll figure out a way to take action on their own, because we really are being challenged. And however small that is, the action matters. I know here in Portland, there's a lot of protests going on all the time in Portland. They don't even report it anymore. There's just protests all the time in Portland. And frankly, I saw on Instagram that there was protests in California over the weekend that I hadn't heard of. So people are beginning to speak out, and people are beginning to get engaged publicly. Now, can we change the forces who seem apparently to own everything and be driving the train? Yeah, I think we can. I think our thoughts are things. I think it's really important for us to decide that we're going to get along, that we are really going to make a stand for humanity. And we're going to find a solution to the nuclear and chemical pollution that's strangling our planet at the very moment. You know, I think that these big hurricanes, whether they're geoengineered or not, I don't know. Like, I don't know if that is a geoengineered thing, or if the oceans are just gotten so warm, or maybe it's a combination of it all. I mean, that's the gaslighting of it all. That's the issue. It's all just gaslighting. And we're so confused. Even my conversation with Chuck Ocelli on Friday, if you guys heard it at the beginning of the show, he did say something about women being 90% of them are the ones who are prostitutes. And then it was at the end of the conversation, well, I didn't say anything about women. It's just everybody. This is all just a contract. Well, this is kind of how we're all just reacting. Chuck and I had a really good conversation afterwards. And he and I are very close we've had, interestingly enough, you know, we all come from our point of view of our life experiences, of things that we've gone through. And so that's what forms our opinions and our life experiences in terms of who we are as people and men and women and what's right and what's wrong. It has to do with where we've been in our lives. It has nothing to do with the truth, because the truth is your own. I mean, there's a certain basis of truth, but I think there's some fundamental rights, you know, like our Constitution has the Bill of Rights, because these are things that we hold to be true and dear. You know, we have a right to free speech. We don't have our right to privacy anymore. That's the super bad part. In fact, that is what's, when the Unpatriot Act got rolled in, man, that was it. Bye-bye any semblance of what we thought was a democracy in this country. And that's what mission accomplished meant. He was like proud of himself. I mean, and he probably loves having Trump as president because now he's not considered the worst president ever. There was a lot of people who couldn't stand him. And now they're like, well, man, we're longing for the Bush times. I'm not, actually. No, I'm not. And I'm not longing for the 50s either. I'm longing for us to grow up and become adults and remember that happiness is resistance. And love is greater than fear, and that we can get through it. And we don't have to agree. We don't have to like each other. People say things and do things because they want love. That's what motivates us. We want love and acceptance. So, yeah. So we get into these conflicts because some people make outrageous statements that we know aren't true, and then we feel justified in being angry at them. Or we misinterpret what they're saying and we justify not liking them. You know, this whole thing about calling names and saying that, well, it's all just meant in good fun and good jest. I seriously object to that because the unconscious hangs on to it. And we have not had a basis of a culture yet where children, at least in America, are raised in a, you know, a healthy, happy environment. We had a sliver of a window when a mother could stay home at work and her, you know, the dad could go out to work and earn enough money to support the family. But that was a sliver of a window that happened in American history. Most of the time, women have had to work. Children have not had the luxury of having a whole family or having a solid education. And we have slipped back into that. We don't have solid education and we don't have whole families. But we do have whole people, and that therein gives me the hope that we need for our future and our lives. Because we create our families, and whether through blood or through friends. And what matters in life is love. I mean, that is the fundamental thing on our planet. I believe that our planet Earth, Gaia, its mission in this universe is to spread love. And I think love is the natural thing that happens on our planet. And when we turn away from our natural nature, who we really are, we get all, you know, that's where we live in the anger zone and the hostile zone. And that's why I just think it's really important for us to remember that happiness is resistance. And love is greater than fear. And whatever you fear can be overcome by love. And we have to love ourselves first and practice self-care first. So I see we have about 20 seconds. Thank you for listening to this radio show and passing our station on to your friends and family so they can join us at our radio station, www.ucy.tv/AOF. I'm on Monday through Thursday. The show's called The Age of Fission Radio Show. Thanks for joining us. Your actions matter. Please take action. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Skateboard, and you're listening to UCY.TV.